This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Good morning, everyone. How are we this morning? I am so glad to be back here at CIU again. And Dr. Jones, thank you for asking me to speak. You know, many people always wonder, this is my name, Hans Finzel, where am I from, yes? And you are wondering, and some of you know where I'm from, yes? You remember from last year? Yeah, I'm from a small little country in the south, not from Deutschland or Österreich, Austria, Switzerland, or Liechtenstein, but a tiny little country in the south. Perhaps some of you in your travels around the world have been to my little country of Alabama. How many of y'all here are from Alabama? Let's see your hand. Okay. Harris, Brazil, there you are, my buddy, good to see you. Most people think with my name Hans Finzel, I should have an accent, right? So I like to oblige them. Now I want to take a vote. How many of y'all want me to speak like this morning? Raise your hand. All right. All right. Now, how many of you would like for me to speak this morning? Okay. I should try that. I've never actually done that before. I love being here at CIU. I bring you greetings from my family. Hans Finzel is a follower of Jesus, number one. Number two, I am a husband to Donna, my beautiful wife of 34 years. We were married when she was 8 years old. I'm dad to four wonderful children and two great daughter-in-laws, and I never do a PowerPoint nowadays without my little grandson, Asher Mark, here on the right. Isn't he beautiful? He happens to be the most beautiful little grandchild in the world. If those of you remember my story from last time, I am 100% pure German. We have any Germans here this morning? Ah, jawohl, wunderbar. Guten Morgen, grüß Gott. I am from Huntsville, Alabama, and if you know anything about Huntsville, it's not far from here. It's the place where the U.S. space program began. When I was a little boy growing up in Huntsville in the 1950s, there were billboards in every highway coming into Huntsville, huge billboards with a rocket ship, and it said, "Welcome to Huntsville, Alabama, space capital of the universe." Woo, amazing. But it's true, a lot of people don't know that NASA was begun in Huntsville with a group of German rocket scientists under the leadership of Dr. Wernher von Braun, who's the gentleman on the left, and my father's the gentleman on the right, who was receiving a commendation during the space program. Now, my dad was a rocket scientist, and the last project he worked on was the Saturn V, that little rocket right there. And that little rocket there put us on the moon in 1969, and I remember growing up as a little boy, I was amazed when they used to test fire that missile in Huntsville. On the test, they would actually strap it down so it wouldn't take off, and they'd fire up those engines. It's called static test firing. And my house was about 15 miles away, and the windows in my house would rattle from the power of that Saturn V. It's the biggest motor, the biggest engine that has ever been built in the United States, even to this very day. Now, my career took a very different turn, and people have asked me through the years, did you ever want to get into science and space and aerospace like your dad? And actually, my brother is in the aerospace industry. I said, not really. When I was growing up, I wanted to be a businessman. I wanted to make a lot of money and live a very self-centered life. But Jesus got a hold of my life when I was a student at the University of Alabama, and everything changed. And all these years, I've been involved in taking the good news of Jesus Christ, who changed my heart all over the world. And I realized a few years ago that I, too, am involved in an industry very much like my father. Think about it. A powerful rocket. We're involved in powerful things, aren't we? You realize the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ is more powerful than that rocket? It is. Because the power of Jesus Christ changes people's hearts like He changed your heart, right? I mean, the power of the gospel to change people's lives and hearts is just amazing. And then I realized my father also built rockets that took a very valuable payload to far away places. And that's what we do in missionary work. We take people like you who have a very important message. And by the way, you are not the message, you are the messenger. But we take people like you and send you to faraway places. And so in many ways, I am like the same kind of occupation that my father was in. Does that make sense? Delivering very powerful, important things to faraway places. In our case, the gospel of Jesus Christ. I thought I'd tell you just a little bit about my calling. You recognize this photograph? 38 years ago, I walked into this room for the very first time as a transfer student from the University of Alabama. I was a sophomore, and I came and I started to go to chapel here, and Dr. McQuilkin, is that you over there, Robertson? He was the president of the school, and it was in here that I first learned that missionaries actually exist on planet Earth. See, I used to think missionaries were like dinosaurs, you know. One time, they had roamed the surface of the planet, but now they're obviously extinct. And I came here, and all of a sudden, people standing right here on this stage began to tell me stories of what God was doing around the world. And my tiny little vision just grew and grew and grew and grew. That's what happened to me here in this room, in this chapel. My life was changed forever. And Bill, Dr. Jones, the reason I've been serving on this board for all these years is because of what happened to me in this room and on this campus. I love what Henry Martin said in 1810, one of the early pioneers in missions. He said, "The Spirit of Christ is the spirit of missions. And the nearer we get to Him, the more intensely missionary we will become." Let me tell you how I came to CIU. Four guys led me to Jesus over a period of 6 months. I was as lost can be. I was a tough case. It took four guys, 6 months of heavy lifting to get me to Jesus and to spoon feed me the Word of God until I could realize finally that He did die for my sins, that He actually would forgive me for all the junk I was doing and had done. You know, you can do a lot of junk by the time you're 18 years old if you work at it, right? Oh, yeah. Yeah? Do I hear an amen?
Preach it.
Preach it, all right. And I could not believe for 6 months, I thought I got to somehow clean myself up enough to present myself to Him. Doesn't work. Finally, I came to the place where I said, "Lord, there's no way I can clean myself up. If I just give myself to You, I actually now believe You will forgive me and You will make me Your child." And that happened to me in 1970. Well, the guys that led me to Jesus gave me a shoebox full of tracts. And then, you know, tracts are those little things. I don't know if they still have tracts or not. They're little leaflets that tell other people about Jesus. But in the bottom of the shoebox was a Columbia Bible College catalog. And it was a plain vanilla catalog, no color pictures. Remember, this was way back before, you know, the invention of electricity and all that stuff. No color photographs, no glossy front cover. It was a yellow cover. I remember it as if it was yesterday. And all it had on it was the little seal of the school. And it said, "To know Him and to make Him known." Wow. And those words just jumped off that catalog and grabbed my heart. And I said to myself, "I'm going to go there. I'm going to go to this place. I can't believe there's a school whose purpose is to know Him and to make Him known. That's all I want to do with the rest of my life, to know Him and to make Him known. How cool is that?" I hope you appreciate the privilege you have of sitting in those seats and being in this school. It is awesome. You agree? All right, let's hear it. Come on, give it up. Okay. I love this place, and I love what it stands for, and I can't believe they actually accepted me. And I remember Dr. McQuilkin told me years later, "Hans, I never thought you'd make it through CIU." It wasn't because I wasn't qualified. He didn't think the culture would be very good to me because I was a pretty radical converted Christian, but the culture here was wonderful to me. It's just what I needed. And by the time I finished school here, I gave my heart to missions. And I said, and I remember coming forward in this chapel with one of the speakers, and they said, if you are willing, if you are available, come forward. And I came forward that day and I said, Lord, I don't know if I have the capacity or the ability, but Lord, I will be available. And that's really all he's looking for starters. Are you available? And I came forward and I said, Lord, I am available. If you can use me, I'm in. And that's what happened. And I met my lovely wife here, Donna, as well, and we started our journey together, and eventually we became missionaries in Eastern Europe, and we lived for 10 years in Vienna, Austria, with our ministry, World Venture, training leaders behind the Iron Curtain. What an amazing experience that was. Now, I bet how many of you in this room are under 20 years of age? Oh, wow. That's a lot of you, almost half of you. Next month, today's October 1st, next month, November 9th, is the 20th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall. Can you believe it's been 20 years? So that means a lot of you don't have a clue what this was all about. But maybe you've heard about the Berlin Wall. And when the Berlin Wall came down, I call it history's greatest prison break. All of a sudden, all those people who were trapped in communism in Eastern Europe were set free. And today, our ministry, World Ventures, has missionaries living and working in all those countries that used to be closed countries. History's greatest prison break. Amazing, amazing what happened in those years and how God, I believe that God brought down the Berlin Wall. I believe that God looked at all those communist dictators of Eastern Europe, people like Nicolae Ceausescu, who was the arrogant, godless dictator of Romania. And just like in the book of Daniel, when he wrote on the wall, many, many tekel parson, your time is up, you don't measure up, your kingdom is divided up. That's exactly what happened in Eastern Europe. Communist dictator after communist dictator was deposed miraculously, and freedom broke forth. Well, I want to shift gears this morning in the time we have left and tell you about another country where dramatic change is taking place. By the way, I'm with a ministry called World Venture, and go to our website, worldventure.com. We're always looking for people who want to serve. We serve all over the world with all kinds of opportunities, and our passion is powerful partnerships that transform lives. Powerful partnerships that transform lives. You guys have any Bibles with you this morning by any chance? Why don't you open your Bibles if you would? I only want to camp on one scripture this morning, and that is Acts chapter 16, 6 through 10. I want to share with you about the calling of God on your life. I want to give you a little advice and a little counsel about how to find God's will for your life and how to figure out what you're going to do once you finish Columbia. In Acts chapter 16, verse 6 through 10, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. One thing you see in this passage is massive action. They were on the move. I love what Ross Perot says. He says, if you see a snake, kill it. Don't appoint a committee on snakes. Good thoughts in your head, not delivered, means squat. And a lot of people spend their whole lives analyzing and thinking and not acting. I love what Steven Jobs, the founder of Apple Computer, says. Leaders ship. They deliver. We have to act. You know why Paul was such an effective leader? He was a man of massive action. And you see it in this passage. They were moving throughout the region, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word of God in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, They tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. By the way, why were they going to all these places? What were they up to? What? Yeah, they had a message they were trying to get out. The message of the saving power of Jesus Christ. They got it, and they were trying to deliver it. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. And during the night, Paul had a vision of a Macedonian standing and begging him, come over and help us. This is the famous Macedonian call. He had a vision, a dream in the night. And this man said, come over and help us. Now, what did Paul and his companions do about it? I'm involved in world missions, and we send short-term teams all over the world, and we send people on 1 week and 2 week and several months. And how many of you have been on a mission trip overseas for some length of time? Raise your hand. Wow, most of you, three quarters of you. So the question is, what do we do with the information that we received on that trip? What do we do about it? What did he do about the information when the man of Macedonia said, come over and help us? After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once. Now, I don't know if he was a morning person or not. I'm not a morning person. I'm a night owl. Amen? All right. I hate the mornings. And I'm sorry, you know, some people are morning people, some people are night people. I had to get up this morning, like one of the board members called me at 8 o'clock this morning for a ride, and it was 6 o'clock Colorado time, and I'm like trying to act like I'm awake, you know. Well, I don't know if these guys were morning people, but I have a feeling they bolted out of bed before the sun even came up. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia and concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. And they went. Massive action with massive results. I'm all for vision trips with a purpose. And we at World Venture are trying to work very hard to make sure that after people go on vision trips and go on short-term mission trips, that they do something with the information. They do something with what happened to their hearts. Don't forget what God did to you when you were over there, because it's so easy to forget, isn't it? When my wife and I were called into missions, we went on a vision trip to Europe. And we, on the plane back from Europe, we were on a 747, and we were halfway over the Atlantic Ocean. And I told Donna, let's decide right now if we're going to become missionaries. And she said, right now? You know, it's kind of tiring being, you know, next to the bathroom in the back of a 747, and it's just stressful. And I got a piece of paper out, and I drew a line down the middle, and I said, let's write all the reasons we should go be missionaries and all the reasons we should stay in California where we were living. And you know, all the reasons to go were compelling, and all the reasons to stay were wimpy. I mean, they were just lame. But you know what happens? You come back and life happens, and the tentacles of America grab your heart, and you forget what God did. So don't forget what God did. I want you to think about China with me for just a moment. China. I believe what God was doing back in the days of Eastern Europe, He's doing today in China. China is the biggest nation on planet Earth. I'm going to give you 6 reasons why I want you to consider China in your future. By the way, I think Dr. Jones said we have some folks from China as students. Where are you? Raise your hand. They don't like to raise their hands if they're from China. Back here? All right. Fantastic. I love China. I've been spending time there. I'm going back in about a month. And I want you to consider, as you are thinking about, where does God want me to go? And what would God have me to do in missions in the future? I'd like you to consider China for 6 reasons. Number one, China is the biggest nation on planet Earth. With just over 1.3 billion people, it's the world's largest country, and we all know that. As the world's population is 6.7 billion, China represents 20% of the world. So every 5 people walking on this planet are Chinese. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Number 2, China is fascinating. You want to go to a fascinating country. You like foreign cultures? I love foreign cultures. I grew up as a German in Huntsville, Alabama, so it was pretty easy for me to become a cross-cultural person. German, by the way, is my mother tongue, meine Muttersprache. It's my first language, so I love other cultures. I love the food. I love the smells. Well, not all the smells. You walk through the streets of Hong Kong and you'll smell some stuff. You think, whoa, I can't believe they eat that stuff. But it's a fascinating, fascinating country. It's a land of contrasts. You know, people say, is it free or is it closed? The answer is yes. Is it rich or is it poor? The answer is yes. Are they open to the gospel or are they closed to the gospel? The answer is yes. It's a land of massive contrast. Some of the biggest, most beautiful cities and modern on planet Earth, and some villages without electricity and running water. China has huge needs, enormous needs. They need our help. The government in China doesn't like to talk about their needs, but they are great. Just one example is what happened in 2008 in the earthquake. A lot of folks have already moved beyond the earthquake and not even thinking about the problem they have, but it's an enormous problem that's going to take a decade to resolve. The scope of this massive disaster, you all remember that? It happened in 2008. 69,226 deaths, 374,000 injured, 17,000 missing. And it's a heartbreak because of the one-child policy in China. When a parent's little baby or a little kindergarten or a little school child is buried in the rubble of a building that was built by incompetent contractors, and it's their only child. It's a heartbreak. The human suffering in that part of the Sichuan province is amazing. Structural damages, 14 million buildings, including 2.2 million residents that need to be rebuilt. So here's just one project that we discovered. For $7,000, we can send short-term teams and build a duplex for 2 families. Pretty amazing, it is. $7,000? What could you build in America for $7,000? A garage? A hot dog stand? In fact, here's the finished product. For $7,000 using local labor and local materials, we are trying to help build and rebuild all these homes. That's just one tiny little thing that can be done in China. Number 4, another reason to think about China is that Chinese love Americans. I'm not saying that the country of China loves the country of America. But I'll tell you, Chinese love Americans. This is some of the guys I took on a short-term trip, a men's mission trip to China, and we fell in love with these students, and the students fell in love with us. One of the best opportunities for ministry in China is among students. They all want to learn English, and they all want to hang out with you because you're an American. And all they want to do is get to know you. And I'm amazed at the conversation I had with one of these young men as we were walking through his town. And he said, "Do you ever think about the purpose of life?" yeah. He said, "Well, you know, I've always thought the purpose of life is to make money and to, you know, just to, it was all about me and creating a perfect life for myself. But I'm beginning to think there's more." Well, I'll talk about a highway right into the guy's heart. They are so open for the gospel. It's just amazing. You know, China has changed the government, their official policy on Christianity. You know, for years, Christianity was banned. It was abolished. It was restricted. And you all have probably heard about the house churches and the official three self churches. But the government in the last couple of years, especially since last year, has decided Christianity is a good thing for China. Really, what they did is they studied countries like America, where capitalism prospers, And they saw that Christianity and capitalism go hand in hand. And if they want to be more capitalistic and more economically prosperous, Christianity is a good thing. Now, that's kind of a simplification, but that's what's happening in China. The restrictions are falling away. Number five, you can do just about everything in China. What would you like to do? What has God gifted you with? What is it that you do well or that you want to develop in? I'm sure that, Dr. Jones, that with all the mission speakers you have, that you probably have already heard this, but let me just say again, in the old days, in the old school approach to missions, you went out as church planters and Bible teachers and evangelists. But today we're talking about 360-degree missions, meaning no matter what you do and no matter where you have your gifting, we can use you in things like teaching, training, medicine, business, education, media. I starred media because we are desperate for media people to help the church in China present their message through the latest in media. I'll be meeting with an official Christian publisher in Beijing in a few weeks that is officially publishing with the government's endorsement some of the best of Christian books for their country legally. And I was speaking to the president the other day and he said, Hans, we desperately need help with media because we are now have permission to do websites and all, you know, all the technology of broadcasting books and media right to people's cell phones. You know, they're way ahead of us with cell phone technology. And it's all, what can we stream to people's cell phones? It's amazing. Technology, relief, development, the arts, sports, you name it. All kinds of opportunities. Well, number six, you can be part of history. This is why I'd like you to consider China. You can be a part of history. There's an estimate that there are over 80 million believers in China today, an enormous population. The church is growing faster in China than any place on planet Earth. It's exploding in growth. And what they need desperately is training. Whenever you have a church that grows explosively and quickly, what is the problem that you face? If you have a rapidly growing conversion rate, what is the problems in the church? What do you think? Y'all go ahead and can they talk to me? Talk to me. What do you think if you have a rapidly growing church with thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of converts rapidly coming to the faith? What do you suppose is the biggest challenge?
Leadership,
that's right. Leadership. What else? Discipleship. Very good. What else? What? Unity? Yeah, definitely unity. One more thing I'm fishing for that's huge. Exactly. Thank you for shouting it out. Correct teaching. The rise of false teaching and biblical chaos in terms of their understanding is rampant. So what's the best way we can help the church? Leadership training, leadership developing, helping their pastors become knowledgeable in the Word of God. Many of us believe that China is going to rise to become an amazing, powerful force in the fulfillment of the Great Commission on planet Earth. If you look at this map, if you've heard of the Back to Jerusalem movement, we believe that in the coming years, God is going to raise up the church in China to go to countries, especially the Muslim world and the Middle East, places we can't go to very easily, and they're going to pick up the mantle. They're going to take the baton. And so we can be part of history as we help equip the church in China to help evangelize the world. So think China. As you're out there dreaming about your future, what am I going to do after CIU? You ever think about that? Hey, that's kind of clever, isn't it? What am I going to do after CIU? I used to think about that all the time when I was sitting where you're sitting. Lord, I want to be used. Consider China. But even beyond that, listen to the call of God on your life. I shared this in chapel last time I was here, and I want to finish by sharing this again. This is the definition of the call of God that I developed years ago, and I believe is so true. The call of God. Lord, am I called, and to where am I called, and to what am I called? Being a missionary is not an easy thing. It's a tough calling. And if you don't have a calling, if it's just a job, I don't think you'll survive very long. You have to sense a calling. And to me, the definition of a calling is to follow the most compelling of many options at any cost. The most compelling of many options. And I have found in my life, as I've sought to follow Him through the years, that there are always lots of possibilities out there. And I think sometimes that God would be pleased with a number of things we might choose. Sometimes people have the problem of analysis paralysis. Again, they won't act because they're so worried about not finding God's perfect will for their lives. And I don't think we should worry too much about that if we follow the most compelling options. So it could be two or three things that God would be pleased if you went out to be a youth pastor, if you went out to be a doctor in missions or a nurse in missions or an educator. There could be a number of possibilities. And what I find in my life is I look in the rearview mirror, then I realized it was God's perfect plan. But the thing is, follow the most compelling of many options. Don't settle for second best. And why do you suppose people don't follow the most compelling of many options? Because of the cost. Sometimes the cost is too great, and so they settle for second best. So I want to finish by telling you the story of a lesson from Craig. Craig is my friend. He's a businessman in Los Angeles. Craig and I have been good friends for over 30 years. He actually went to seminary years ago, but he got sidetracked because he didn't follow the most compelling of many options. And he went into the automobile business, and he had children, and life got complicated, and there was debt, and there were things. And, you know, for 30 years, he basically had a sidetrack and didn't do what he wanted to do. This is a picture of Craig in China. I took him on my trip to China with me a year ago. He just got back yesterday from his second trip to China with his wife. Guess what? God has called him now to move to China. Is that ever cool? 30 years later. And when I took him on this trip to China, he said, "Hans, every excuse I had for not being a missionary was obliterated on this trip. I, as a businessman, can be a missionary in China." Learn a lesson. Don't give up that cost, and don't settle for second best just because the cost is too great. I can guarantee you, no matter what the cost, the joy of being in the center of God's will is the happiest place on planet Earth. He will not let you down. So as you're going forward, think China, will you? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in China. And I pray for every young man and every young woman and the older ones in this room who are praying and thinking about their future. Father, I pray that you would help them in their hearts of heart not to compromise what you've put on their heart. And Father, I pray you will help them to follow that most compelling of many, many options at any cost. I pray in the powerful name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore. or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.